Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. This is the time. This is the station. This is the moment. This is the day when we put aside all other concerns, at least on this show, and look at matters of ultimacy, the deepest depths, the highest highs, the moment of worship, ethics, highest commitments, and the way that we configure ourselves in community here at the intersection of the spiritual and the divine here at Religion on the Line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with...
How can I follow that introduction? Ultimacy. Deacon John Burke with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with the ultimate rabbi from...
Chicago, Illinois, is reporting in for duty, Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir. And, Michael, do you have a lot of snow on the ground?
We have none yet. We were supposed to get it starting... Well, there is snow on the ground, but we do not have the snowfall that I believe you are currently experiencing.
Yeah, what I've said yesterday, and I would say today, you know, it's a pretty little snow. And it's a couple inches maybe. It's light. It doesn't fall in blizzard-like manner. It just kind of descends gently to the earth. The roads are pretty clear. John, I think you were following me in, weren't you today?
I was following you, not stalking you, but following you.
Yeah. But we turned, you know, where he turns onto Shawnee Mission Parkway, and Shawnee Mission Parkway was pretty clear all the way. So it's a pretty little snow, and it's good to be on the white side of the snow, on the green side of the grass, to be up and taking nourishment, to be alive. And we would encourage our listeners to show their gladness by giving us a call at 576-7710. We've had a couple of callers, haven't we, over the last couple of three Sundays where we've said call back next week.
Right.
Yeah. And so...
And that was an effective strategy to get them not to call back so far.
Apparently it's worked. So, any rate, Michael, what is on your agenda this morning?
Well, fair enough. This morning, in anticipation of the Festival of Purim, which begins Wednesday night throughout the world in Jewish life, we will have a carnival for young people, and adults are welcome to come, and what we call a Purim spiel, which is sort of a fun experience, extravaganza. I will, of course, dress in
as
my
Esther.
Finest, well, yes, but except that we are, if you promise not to tell anyone, because it's a secret from the kids, the theme for this year is a takeoff on the Disney
Frozen.
Frozen.
Yeah.
I don't know which one I am, but I'm Esther, except I'm also, is it
the
younger
one?
Wow. Elsa, or I don't know. I'm not quite certain.
So, Michael, this is a lifelong fantasy. This is why you became a rabbi to do a little cross dressing. I mean, what is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, much more seriously. Historically, this was a world turned upside down, a fool's day in effect, which is found in many traditional cultures, and as well probably also has echoes in the whole Mardi Gras idea prelude to. But Purim is quite clearly an anticipation of spring, and a Passover festival to come. Even as what should we say, Lent certainly is meant to get one in preparation for the Easter event.
Mm-hmm.
But
what is
Purim,
the word
Wednesday night? The reading of the Book of Esther, Martin Luther's least favorite book.
Yeah, and because it didn't bear the name of God anywhere in it, right?
Well, that's I think a piece of the, you know, God is as it were hidden in the book.
But I thought it was James, John, that Luther did not like. I don't know.
Probably didn't like that also.
He thought it was written by the devil because it had so much to do with works. I love the book of James. And, you know, Martin Luther should reserve the right to be wrong once in a while, so.
Yeah, and this was works of love. Works of love and service.
Well, I doubt if we could convince Luther of that. So, but let me ask you this. What does the word poor mean?
Well, it presumably, the text says it comes from an Iranian word, or Persian word more precisely, poor, which means to cast lots. And the story has it that Haman, the arch-villain, cast lots to find the most propitious day to kill all the Jewish subjects of King Ahasuerus' realm. And that's the, a Yankee Doodle phenomenon, turning it upside down, a horrific possibility turned upside down. By the way, I also thought, ironically, Luther was objected to the Book of Esther because of the sexual innuendos and the violence, which is ironic in the extreme, given the violence that
he initiated or promoted,
unleashed.
And that he advocated. So,
yeah.
Well,
that's an A in terms of what's happening in Jewish life. And then, did you guys follow the Supreme Court hearing on the Abercrombie and Fitch case with, I think it's Samantha Elof. I'm probably not pronouncing her last name correctly, for which apologies would be offered if I could get them to her. Young Muslim woman who applied for a position at Abercrombie & Fitch, the youth retailer. I have been in an Abercrombie & Fitch all of once in my entire life, and I don't think I remember why I was there. I was probably asking for directions. But she wishing to wear, per her religious responsibilities, as she understands them, headscarf, was denied employment, not told that was the reason why, not even asked, does it represent a problem for you that we would consider that not in keeping with it, the styles we were. And the hearing was this week. But what about the dress? Have you guys followed this at all?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get this. I mean, but I don't know.
Isn't it a test of colorblindness?
Well, it may well be a test of how we experience the world. I get, I'm stunned by some of the reactions that people. It is this, and because I say so, it is. Even though you have a different experience, I know better, which is one of those fascinating things in perception and subjectivity. In fact, let me just a couple of quotes here. Mindy Kaling. I'm told by some people she's a singer. I think I'm getting so mad about the dress because it's an assault on what I believe is objective truth, which, that's sort of an item that comes up on this show from time to time.
Yeah.
And from this day on, the world will be divided into two people, blue and black or white and gold. Mm-hmm. Katy Perry tweeted, "This is how wars start." And I thought, that's all too accurate.
With those kind of attitudes, that's right.
Remember that, the parallel in Gulliver's Travels. They go to war over which end is the end to open up a soft-boiled egg. But that seems to me to have some consequence, especially because I could use our listeners' help. On Tuesday afternoon, I'm doing the final of a series of five classes with the parents of our Hebrew school students. And the first four were already set. They decided what the last topic would be, and they want to talk about the conflict between science and religion. And that certainly comes up on this show more often than not. And I'm fascinated by the notion that people think automatically there has to be a conflict.
And then
finally, given our predisposition to from time to time wonder about to boldly go where no one has ever gone before, Leonard Nimoy, may he rest in peace, having discovered lots of different civilizations out there, which may or may not be the case. My stuff.
All right. John, what's on your agenda this morning?
Well, speaking of science and religion, since this is March 1st, the intention of Pope Francis is to pray for researchers. In his
what's the March 1st connection, though, John?
It every month there's a new intention the Pope puts out
there. Timed historically with something.
Yeah, there's no. It's not because of March 1st. And the statement from the Vatican website says, and I thought of the same thing since we discussed this on the show many times, and we get into these tussles between the color of a dress, you know. And he says, where science seeks the what and how of things, religion seeks the why. And the why is important because it ultimately guides us how we use the knowledge gained from science. And, of course,
and that's Pope Francis?
That's Pope Francis.
He hits another one out of the park.
And then I'm assuming...
I'm sick and tired of hearing wise stuff from him, you know?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's Pope Francis. It is the statement from the Vatican website on the intention that those involved in scientific research may serve the well-being of the whole human person. Mm-hmm. And then it's listed the different scientists who contributed, who were also churchmen. 13th century English Franciscan friar Roger Bacon is regarded as one of the early advocates of the scientific method. Of course, we have Copernicus is considered the founder of modern astronomy. We have Mendel, the Augustinian friar, is regarded the founder of modern genetics. And then he goes on to talk about how in his address to the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, which is made up of Catholics, Jews, scientists, secular scientists, even atheistic scientists, that when humanity acts without wisdom trying to take the place of God, it ends up destroying creation. And I kind of sense that his encyclical on the environment is going to talk about man being the steward of creation.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more after we pay some bills here. Give us a call at 576-7710 here at Religion on the Line.
When you want the best in news, information, and opinion, you need KCMO Talk Radio.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Start your day with Rob Carson and his unique take on what's happening.
That was hilarious.
And home with Greg Knapp from 4 to 6 p.m. each day.
Yeah, that's where it gets really crazy.
We still have all your favorites. Savage Nation at 2 p.m., Mark Levin at 6 p.m., and introducing Chris Plant live from Washington at 9 a.m.
I'm just feeling a mojo from this guy.
A new and improved lineup is now on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7.
Get the low van price and the van advantage at Van Chevrolet in the Van Autoplex, I-29 and Vivian Road.
Off-roading in mom's minivan again? Get her back to ship shape with quality care from A-plus rated Precision Collision. Locations in Gladstone and Pleasant Valley. Call 816-781-9630. Online at precisioncollisionkc.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp. Do you own your own business? When was the last time you updated your website? Check out DigitalLagoon.com, locally owned and operated, help you redesign your website, increase sales, build that SEO strategy. DigitalLagoon.com/KCMO right now for KCMO listeners.
We live in a world where millions of people are striving to improve their lives and the world. How do we make sure such change actually happens? Mark McCurdy's Christian Science practitioner and speaker explains how God's love and saving power is the greatest agent for change, providing a one-stop source for permanent and meaningful improvement to all aspects of our experience. Join Mark for a free talk, Making Meaningful Change, How God's Love Can Change Your Life and the World. Saturday, March 7th, 10:30 a.m., Seventh Church of Christ Scientist, 604 West 47th Street on the Country Club Plaza.
Tune in this Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for KCMO Talk Radio's Ask the Doctor Show with Kansas City's very own doctor, James Mirabli. He'll be taking your calls to answer any questions you may have regarding your health and wellness. You can call him Saturday at the station by calling 5767710.
Dr. Mirabli is joined by Dr. Scott Daddle, a local pediatrician with Kansas City Pediatrics. They'll be answering questions about pediatric health and childhood vaccinations.
This is Frank Curtis from Shawnee Heartland Assisted Living. We are the boutique community of choice, a community with heart. We have 5 consecutive deficiency-free surveys from the state of Kansas, and we've been privately owned and operated since 2000. Log on to ShawneeHeartlandAL.com or call 913-248-6600. Shawnee Heartland, we're not a giant corporation, we're family.
I'm Steve Keeker, president of Senior Care Consulting. Every day since 2002, we've been helping families find the right senior care community for their elderly loved ones, and we can help you too. Are you searching for a care facility? Do you know where to begin? Is it taking longer than expected? Is the process just too overwhelming and emotional? If so, I encourage you to call me today. We offer a no-obligation, free consultation to discuss your needs. We work for you, with you, and on behalf of you and your family. We represent you in your best interest, and we never accept reimbursement from the care communities. Why would we? We work for you, not for them. If you'd like to request a free consultation, call today at 913-749-7899. That's 913-749-7899, or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
Attention antique shoppers, if you're looking for the ultimate antique adventure, you will find it at the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70, between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We are the perfect place to stroll aisle after aisle of fine antiques and collectibles. Whether it's our fine antiques, vintage, or retro items, we have them all. Antiques are what we know at the Brass Armadillo. With hundreds of antique dealers and millions of items, it is a shopper's paradise. So come on out to the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70 between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We're open 9 to 9 every day. Come see what everybody's talking about.
That's the word.
We got everybody talking.
Antiques are all we need.
We got everybody talking. Everybody's talking about the Brass Armadillo.
Brass Armadillo.
Everybody's talking.
It's Carson Monday morning on the show. Is it too much to ask for $1 million a month, including $85,000 for groceries after divorcing your billionaire husband? Wow, I can shop at Whole Foods now. 5 to 9 Monday on KCMO.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM on your radio dial. And coming across the radio waves are our voices, and we would really appreciate you returning the favor and sending us your voices via a telephone call at 576-7710, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And, Michael, we were talking with John for a little bit. John, other items?
Yes, speaking of Leonard Nimoy, and from Wikipedia and from a Cobra Guard email sender, he reminds us that the priestly blessing that Spock gave, the priestly blessing of... was performed according to a Jewish, I can't say the word, Kohanim, with both...
Kohanim, yes. We get the English name Kohn from it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... golly, I'm learning something every day.
It's the Hebrew word for a priest.
Yeah.
Kohen.
Yeah, it's a priestly blessing, and where you take your thumb, you take your hand, and you have three upward strokes similar to the position of the thumb and fingers in the salute. The letter shin... which here stands for El Shaddai, meaning Almighty God. He says that when he was a child, Leonard Nimoy was taken to an Orthodox synagogue by his grandfather. There he saw the blessing performed and was impressed by it, and it's embedded in the show now. And the,
live long and prosper, was I think is how he did it.
Yes, live long and prosper. And the response is peace and long life.
Now, that's not what they do in an Orthodox synagogue, a conservative synagogue, a reform synagogue, but the hand gesture is borrowed. That's for sure.
They don't say live long and prosper?
No. It's the priestly blessing. May God bless you and guard you. May God cause God's face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God turn God's face to you and give you peace. Mm-hmm. That's what is invoked in Hebrew.
That's the Aaronic blessing from Numbers?
Isn't it often the benediction in many congregations?
It is a favored benediction among Christians, yes.
Yeah, the triple benediction. And the deacon says, bow down for the blessing before it's given. That's my job.
Well, the interesting thing, John, in that regard is that in a traditional synagogue, when people who claim to be descendants of the priestly group, the Kohanim, are are offered the opportunity to bless the community with this threefold blessing that the tradition says and the text says Aaron first evoked. They cover their heads with their prayer shawls, so they do not see the community, and the community is not supposed to look at them either. I mean, that's perhaps one of the singularly most intriguing pieces of the puzzle of the of invoking the priestly blessing. But what I really love about it is if you unpack the Hebrew, you can understand it to mean, may God's face shine in you.
In you. Wow, yeah. I like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I do too. And because I've seen, you know, for example, at weddings, that's where it often is found. Or at least if words are going to capture whatever the heck is going on between that couple. And how do they keep that light growing?
Yeah. And, well, that leads us into the Catholic reading today from the Old Testament, the sacrifice of Isaac. And am I saying it right? The Akedah?
Akedah?
Akedah.
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 Akedah. And I really want to go for a graduate degree. Akedat Yitzchak.
What's that mean?
Are you going to preach? Are you going to talk about this today?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Akedah.
So you just did it correctly.
Akedah.
The noun, the binding.
Uh-huh, the binding of Isaac.
Akedat Yitzchak would be the binding of Isaac.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. So Akedah Yitzchak?
Yitzchak.
Akedat.
Akedah.
Akedat. No, get it
with a T
at the end.
Oh, okay. A K dot. Yitzhak.
You got it. Perfect.
Yitzhak. Yitzhak. Yeah, whatever.
Yitzhak.
Well, anyway, this is the. This
the
is
could do it.
The first reading. The first reading is about the binding of Isaac, and I was doing my homework, and that leads me into another conversation here that I wanted to have with you. And then that was the 10th test, according to Jewish custom, am I right, for Abraham?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other nine, and there is no consensus among Jewish commentators on this, but the other nine was Abraham's first command to leave his homeland and family,
right.
The famine in Israel, the Egyptians' mistreatment when they abducted Sarah, his war against the four kings, having a child by Hagar after despairing of Sarah, circumcising himself at 99, that would be a heck of a test. The king of Gerar's mistreatment when he abducted his wife, expelling Hagar after building a family with her, expelling Ishmael, his son, and then the Akedat, the binding of Isaac. And
right.
But you
that's a very commonly accepted list, right?
Uh-huh. And the thing that in my little research, I found out was that the number 10 in Hebrew numerology is the number of testimony of law and responsibility. And is that why we get the number 10 commandments?
Boy, John, I don't know which comes first, you know, in that regard. You know, is it that there were 10 and therefore,
uh-huh.
or there are 10 because of the therefore? There's just no way to unpack that one. Save that if it adds to our sense of mystery and conviction and connection, then it's worthwhile. I mean,
I see it as an equilateral equation. I see it as an equation that where arrows go in both directions. And then in my research,
yeah, that's good. I like that.
And then in my research, I found that I was reminded that the 10th trial of the Pharaoh in Egypt was also the offering of the firstborn as a sacrifice. And then you talked about the priestly blessing, may God's face shine in you. That leads us to the gospel reading of the transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured, where the face of God was shown in him and through him, and he was transfigured in this glory with the two others who had assumed into heaven, Moses and Elijah.
We're going to have to take a break.
That's the New Testament reading for today?
Yes.
We're going to have to that's for the Catholics. And we have some other ones for the Protestants. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've heard that before. You heard it on the radio. Only the radio.
Hi, I'm Mitch Holtis, telling you that if you want your customers to remember your business in a similar way, go to CumulusRadio.com to learn how. You're listening right now, and so are your customers. In fact, this Cumulus Media radio station has enough potential customers listening to fill Arrowhead Stadium many times over. Go to CumulusRadio.com today and build your business. Change your business with radio.
KCMO. Can't get enough talk radio? Get KCMO online at KCMOTalkRadio.com. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at KCMO Talk Radio. Stay connected to your favorite personalities and get updates 24/7. KCMO 710. And now on FM at 103.7. Kansas City's talk station, AM, FM, and online at KCMOTalkRadio.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch. Snow in Albuquerque forces the local zoo to close for at least a day.
Weather like this that affects the zoo only happens every few years.
Zoo spokesman Peter Shannon.
The animals that need protection in the cold weather, they all have indoor facilities to go into.
But he says the polar bears are loving it. Further east, a fast-moving storm is barreling out of the Ohio Valley with its sights set on Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. Meteorologist Tim Williams.
This could bring us some sleet, some freezing rain, and some icing over the afternoon period. And with the temperature still on the cold side and the roads still very cold, this could make for some very slick conditions.
Meteorologist Pamela Gardner says Boston is poised to break a winter snow record.
Wet, heavy snow Sunday night. 3 to 6 inch range for a good portion of New England, with an isolated 6 inch plus bullseye primarily south of the Mass Pike. After we get the snow, gusty northwest winds Monday, leading to some blowing and drifting.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
We may get a brief break overnight, but it looks like more snow will be in store just in time for Sunday. The winter weather advisory remains in effect. Keep an eye out for those roadways. It will be slick and slow tonight, down to 24. Temperatures will warm up slightly on Sunday at 32. There will be another inch or two of snowfall total accumulation going through Sunday on top of what we already have. Winds out of the west, northwest at 5 to 10. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Lisa Teachman.
Hello again, Kansas City. Joe Antal of Van Subaru. In addition to being one of the best cars you'll ever love driving, it's really the safety you'll find in a Subaru that truly sets it apart. Here's a couple of stories from our Van Subaru family. Cheryl Bierman tells us why the Subaru is the only vehicle that her family will drive.
Well, Joe, my husband and I were driving on a country road at dusk, and out of nowhere, a deer appeared in front of our car. The car was totaled, but we were unharmed. That was our fourth Van Subaru, and now we're driving our fifth. We are a Van Subaru family.
And Robert Gilman shared this with us.
Well, Joe, late one night last October, driving home in my Subaru Forester, I impacted the back of a semi-trailer at 60 miles an hour. Vehicle was totaled, but I walked away unharmed. That was our fourth Subaru. Now we're driving our fifth Subaru, and that's why we'll always be a part of the Van Subaru family.
That's why we're proud to be your Subaru source. Van Subaru in the Van Autoplex, just 8 minutes from downtown on I-29 and Vivian Road, or online at vansubaru.com. Stay tuned for more.
There's a reason you choose to play at Argosy Casino, because here, your cup is beyond half full. It's overflowing with everything you desire. Play $500 on us at Argosy Casino Hotel and Spa. It's never been a better time to become a new Marquee Rewards member. In addition to the loads of exclusive perks and offers, when you sign up, you'll get back up to $500 of your first day's play on us. Already a member but haven't played here in a while? You may be eligible to play $500 on us too. Come in today to see if you qualify. Because getting what you want and knowing how to get it is in your DNA. From full-throttle gaming action on the hottest slots and tables to indulging in a taste of the good life. You've always demanded more, and fortunately, there's a place for people like you. Argosy Casino Hotel and Spa. You've arrived. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
KCMO Kansas City, Talk Radio 710, and now on FM at 103.7, making it even easier to hear your personalities. This is KCMO, KCMO, Talk Radio 710, and now on FM at 103.7, 103.7. Get connected to Kansas City's talk station, AM, FM, and online at KCMOTalkRadio.com.
Now more than ever, politicians want their constituents to believe that they're conservative because conservative ideas are winning elections.
Mark Levin, weeknights 6 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. Thank you for tuning us in, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. Do give us a call. As you warm your heart and your feet and your hands with a cup of hot beverage this morning, and you look out upon the snowy landscape, and get ready for, if you are going to your place of worship, give us a call and engage in conversation here at 576-7710. That's the number to call, 576-7710. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And I have another reference for you, Michael, about Mount Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a quote from the Legends of Jerusalem, Zev Vilnei, Jewish Publication
right.
Society of America.
Right.
He says that it was upon Mount Moriah that King Solomon built the temple, mm-hmm. where Shem interred the skull of Adam after Noah left the ark.
Excuse me?
And,
all right.
And
there's a legend.
Yeah.
A legend.
And it's the place called Golgotha, the skull, where Jesus was sacrificed and where Abraham sacrificed or tried to sacrifice Isaac. And so we have Solomon, Abraham, Noah, Shem, and Jesus on the Mount, on Golgotha, the skull of Mount Moriah.
Well, unfortunately, either the research is wrong or he or somebody else conflated some things. Golgotha cannot be the Temple Mount. That's for sure. Which is, by the way, why there's the two traditions of where the location of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is versus the Garden Tomb outside of the walls, because that particular excavation outside of the walls, is it sometimes called Chinese Gordon, Bob? Isn't that the...
I think that's right, yeah.
So Golgotha is not Mount Moriah.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. What is being conflated is if you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, one of the chapels has the notion is that the place where Jesus' cross was planted in the ground was right over Adam's skull. In the notion that the blood would drop down there at least as metaphor, atone for Adam's disobedience. But that's at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. I know of no such thing at the so-called Garden Tomb, which is behind the old bus station in Jerusalem.
Okay. Well, what about the where Abraham sacrificed Isaac?
That is the tradition. Now,
where at Golgotha?
No, Moriah.
Moriah.
If you read Genesis, I think is it chapter 22?
22.
Yeah, and you get toward the end. And that is why to this day they call it the mountain, the place where there is vision, which is a takeoff on Moriah, the Hebrew.
Not that you were going to say that's why they call the wind Moriah, but.
However, what you're dealing with is values and not per se historical fact. And here's what I mean by
yes,
that.
Yes,
According to the text, when Abraham is going a three-day journey, he's leaving from Beersheba. It wouldn't take that long to get to Jerusalem, let alone Jerusalem was a settled place, and he's not. And the story, at least, is not in a settled place. The idea is that any place can be a Moriah experience in terms of the Midrashic method, even as... I'll give you a different example because you talked about numerology or gematria, as it's sometimes called. When Jacob flees for his life to go to Haran, which is in northern Syria, he's fleeing his brother's wrath. He comes upon a certain place, and if you look at that text, place is used over and over again. It's one of the names for God in Jewish tradition. And he has a dream, and in that dream there's a sulam, which is usually translated ladder, going up to heaven, right?
Uh-huh.
And the gematria for sulam is the exact same gematria as the Hebrew for Mount Sinai. Where was he? He was at Mount Sinai. But wait a second. Sinai is in the exact opposite direction of where he was heading. Therefore, Sinai can be an any or every or in potential all places. That's the idea. With that endeth the lesson.
Okay. So, is there a place called? Is there a mountain called Moriah?
The answer is yes. Now, the Temple Mount can also be called Har HaMoriah, which means the mountain where there is vision.
Okay, the Temple Mount where the temple was built.
Where the mosque of the Dome of the Rock is.
Dome of the Rock is, yes.
It's not appropriate to call it a mosque because it's not a mosque, but where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is, etc.
Right, right. And I think in the commentary I have here is that Abraham was obedient and went to the land of Moriah. Mm-hmm. So that mm-hmm. land of Moriah would encompass, I would assume, the Temple Mount, Golgotha, you know, the place of the skull, the
well,
whole...
Well, if you're trying to maintain that symmetry, you certainly don't need my permission. I just think he's in a more unsettled place if you take the story in some kind of... Well, we all take it seriously.
I'm not trying to pin it down as history, but here, like you said, what was the second expression you gave?
Which one? Arhamoria?
No, it's not so much a... quantitative, measurable, historical thing. It's more a qualitative, visionary description.
It's certainly, it's an attempt to convey some values about the potential hidden and available in every place.
Yeah. But would you say within the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, I can't remember how far that is. Is it, what, 2 miles, 1 mile?
I'm sorry. You mean from
between
the Temple
of the
Mount? From the Temple Mount?
Yeah.
Boy, Temple Mount, the Holy Sepulchre. Whether it's a crow flying or you're walking through the streets of Jerusalem.
Well, a crow flying.
I would guess it's less than a mile, quite honestly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because, you know, we do the Way of the Cross during Passion Week and during the Triduum. And, you know, I remember doing that whole thing from, we were staying very close to the Temple of the Mount in the Itzi Homo Convent in the Old City.
Uh-huh.
And then we ended it at Golgotha. On the top of the hill and inside the Holy Sepulchre Basilica.
During the break, I'll take a look at you know the walls of the current Old City are not the same walls that would have been in Jesus' time, but the square foot the mileage is pretty modest in terms of the square miles of the Old City in the walls. So
Michael,
you can get anywhere pretty quickly.
Yeah. I want to switch subjects because I think we're going to have a caller right after the break come up about evolution. And I want to point your attention to a thing on PBS.org. And it's Roundtable Science and Faith. And it has some marvelous, marvelous panelists. And I'm going to kind of cite them and give their credentials. One from Wheaton College, who's an evangelical, has a very interesting perspective on this. And that's in your neck of the woods, too, right up there in New Chicago.
Right, absolutely.
So check that out. I'll try to send the link later. But
yeah, send it before Tuesday, for goodness gracious sake. Evolution and...
It's called Roundtable, / Science and Faith. And how can you reconcile the conflict between evolution and religion? And they pick apart even that sentence, just like you did before. So
we also have a quick email. It's from Rob. He says he's never heard this since he's been listening. He says, good morning. Why do you not have a Muslim representative on your panel? I can only imagine the dialogue this would generate.
From time to time we have, and Michael said, and I think we all agreed, didn't we, John, that we need to do that fairly soon again. We don't do it as a normal weekly practice, but that's a good thing, Rob. Thank you for the suggestion and the urging. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
When you want the best in news, information, and opinion, you need KCMO Talk Radio.
Oh, buddy. Yeah.
Start your day with Rob Carson and his unique take on what's happening.
That was hilarious.
And home with Greg Knapp from 4 to 6 p.m. each day.
Now that's where it gets really crazy.
We still have all your favorites. Savage Nation at 2 p.m., Mark Levin at 6 p.m., and introducing Chris Plant live from Washington at 9 a.m.
I'm just feeling a mojo from this guy.
The new and improved lineup is now on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
I'm Steve Kuecker, president of Senior Care Consulting. Every day since 2002, we've been helping families find the right senior care community for their elderly loved ones, and we can help you too. Are you searching for a care facility? Do you know where to begin? Is it taking longer than expected? Is the process just too overwhelming and emotional? If so, I encourage you to call me today. We offer a no-obligation, free consultation to discuss your needs. We work for you, with you, and on behalf of you and your family. We represent you in your best interest, and we never accept reimbursement from the care communities. Why would we? We work for you, not for them. If you'd like to request a free consultation, call today at 913-749-7899. That's 913-749-7899 or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
Attention antique shoppers, if you're looking for the ultimate antique adventure, you will find it at the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70 between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We are the perfect place to stroll aisle after aisle of fine antiques and collectibles. Whether it's our fine antiques, vintage, or retro items, we have them all. Antiques are what we know at the Brass Armadillo, with hundreds of antique dealers and millions of items, it is a shopper's paradise. So come on out to the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70 between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We're open 9 to 9 every day. Come see what everybody's talking about.
That's the word.
We got everybody talking.
Antiques are all we know.
We got everybody talking. Everybody's talking about the Brass Armadillo.
Tune in this Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock for KCMO Talk Radio's Ask the Doctor show with Kansas City's very own doctor, James Mirable. He'll be taking your calls to answer any questions you may have regarding your health and wellness. You can call him Saturday at the station by calling 5767-710.
Dr. Mirable is joined by Dr. Scott Daddle, a local pediatrician with Kansas City Pediatrics. They'll be answering questions about pediatric health and childhood vaccinations.
Public notice. Country Hill Motors has been designated to liquidate over 500 vehicles by February 28th. Our overstock problem is your opportunity to drive the vehicle of your dreams for cents on the dollar. All vehicle prices have been reduced aggressively to below market pricing for this event. Special lender financing starts at just 1.49% with our goal of 100% credit approval for all buyers, even with past credit problems. You can take advantage of special rates with wholesale pricing and additional incentives. Plus, even with past repossessions, bankruptcies, and slow pays, you could be approved. Or bring in your tax refund check or down payment and we'll double it up to $1,000. Yes, double your tax refund up to $1,000. Through February 28th only at Country Hill Motors in Merriam, Olathe, and online at countryhill.com. See dealer for details.
Old car, new car, foreign car, domestic car, whatever kind of car you have, Precision Collision can fix it. If your car is damaged, call Precision Collision, voted best in the Northland. Locations in Gladstone and Pleasant Valley. Call 816-781-9630. Online at precisioncollisionkc.com.
Hey, this is Greg Knapp. Do you own your own business? When was the last time you updated your website? Check out digitallagoon.com. Locally owned and operated. Help you redesign your website. Increase sales. Build that SEO strategy. digitallagoon.com/KCMO right now. For KCMO listeners.
Kansas City liberals, you've met your match.
Defend the American people, protect them, and unleash our military on these vermin.
The Savage Nation, afternoons 2 till 4 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM on your radio dial. We would love to have your call, and this is what you dial on your phone, 816-576-7710. If you're in the metro area, you don't need to use that area code. Just dial 576-7710, and we would love to have you on the air ASAP. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. I've got some information and I got a question. The information, now this actually kind of blew me away. The old city within the current Byzantine walls is 9/10 of a square kilometer, 0.35 hundredths of a square mile. It's less than 1 kilometer across. So it's a pretty easy walk, although it's twisting and turning. And the other question, and the question I have is, even as I want Bob, of course, to throw some logs on the fire, is the lectionary reading always the same? That is are they matched? That whenever you're doing the binding of Isaac, you would also do the transfiguration every year, annually, or how does that work?
Every 3 years.
Every 3 years, yeah.
It'll coincide, yeah.
This is the second year, year B.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
I have three things to suggest. And one is an article in the Christian Century. There's two articles I want to talk about, Michael. And the cover article is Fred Craddock's ministry in Cherry Log, Georgia. And it's about what he has done in retirement after he left Candler School of Theology and what he did to service those who could never go to seminary. I'll send both of you the link, and you'll revel in it as you can hear him speak through these quoted words, and as his whole career is reflected upon by this author, who teaches preaching, and was lecturing on preaching at a meeting of scholars, and looked down on the front row was Fred Craddock.
I don't think I want to talk anymore.
Well, and
for those who don't know, this is one of the great religious figures,
yes,
and certainly one of the most remarkable students of communication ever to be on a pulpit.
Yeah, and you all will love the way that this author is felicitously, I think, wonderfully, carefully, gently remembered Fred Craddock. It's a marvelous article. In the same issue of the Christian Century is a Faith Matters little editorial opinion piece by Craig Barnes, the president of Princeton Theological Seminary. One of the few presidents of any seminary that preaches on a fairly regular, almost weekly basis at his institution. And he's a great preacher. Plus, I think that he's trying to model for people that he's not just out there raising money. But he's talking about lone leaders. And just check this quote out. There is something in our ever-so-democratic, anti-hierarchical, big-on-the-transparency, questioning-the-process affections that make us resist this core of leadership, meaning the lone leader. But the Bible is filled with examples of women and men who had a vision from God and knew that they had to throw their lives into fulfilling it, even if it meant leaving town in a shower of rocks. It's hard to find a prophet, apostle, or Jesus in search of a grand consensus. Every leader has to begin with a passion for at least one or two great visionary ideas. In time, the ideas will mature and offer strategies for a focused leadership. But we don't shop for these holy ideas. They seek us. Just very, very, and then he goes on, a vision from God doesn't have to arrive through a supernatural revelation. The call can be stuck in a theology textbook, abandoned after a final exam. It can rise through a late-night conversation with friends. My wife once heard Nat King Cole singing O Holy Night on the radio, and when he came to Till He Appeared and the soul felt its worth, she couldn't stop crying. Heaven, Michael, to echo what you said earlier, and John and I both believe, heaven is in flaming bushes around us all the time. The question is, are we paying attention? So this thing of visionary leadership is absolutely wonderful. So, hey, we got to go to some callers here. Let's go to Gene. Gene, you want to talk about evolution?
Uh, Yes, I have a thing I want to say, but I'm sure that we're going to run into the break. Would you hold me over? Because I want to tell you about a friend of mine. For many years, he was raised Catholic, and he went to school, and he was an altar boy and everything else. And up through marriage, then his wife died, and now he has turned into a humanist. To me, that's nothing more than an atheist. Evolution, he says, that's the form of all life. No, you know, this everything formed from nothing.
That's one way to view evolution, not the only way, by the way.
Well, I'm talking about my friend what he believes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
I know. I would like to come up with some, maybe a book or two, or maybe Mike from Fairway will call in and give me a name of a book. John mentioned something about a public television. I'd like to find out more about that, what it is, and hear your comments on it.
Gene, to the extent that you know, is this gentleman angry with God or something because his wife died, or what's your understanding of his evolution on this?
Well, I'm sorry, Rabbi, I didn't catch that.
Is he angry at God, Gene, because of his wife's death?
How does he go? What's his journey? You need to find.
All I know is I want to get some information, unbiased information, showing both sides.
Hold it. Both sides aren't going to work for everybody, because it's not a both sides all the time.
Okay.
It's not an either or. There are multitudes of religious people, even the Pope, who don't think of science as in conflict with religion.
Are you saying I have a lost cause then, or should I go ahead with what I'm...
No, what... I guess we're asking for more information about your friend.
Well, okay, I that's the best I can say. He was very much into the Catholic religion. He did everything, and something happened at...
Well, Catholicism does not see it as evolution is automatically against God.
Is he automatically against God?
No. I think, basically, Gene, you can't hear when Michael is trying to engage in normal conversation.
Stay out of the conversation.
No, Michael, you can, but Gene, when Michael, in natural conversation, we don't have long kind of declarations and then long responses. We go back and forth, and you're not hearing Michael. I don't know whether it is because of your phone or whatever.
What was that again, Michael?
And Michael,
go
ahead and say
that I can capture it. Catholicism is not automatically, you got to either be for God or for evolution. John, jump in here. This is your baby.
Gene?
I'm listening.
When you say the thing that he was a practicing Catholic, my question is, did he have a living encounter with Jesus Christ? The faith is supposed to lead to a living encounter.
I can't get into his brain.
I would stress that we're called to this living encounter.
Hold on, both of y'all, all of us, hold on. We'll be right back. Daniel, Scott, hang in there. We're going to get to you and other callers right here on Religion on the Line. We're going to listen to some news, pay some bills. Be right back here at 576-7710.